Our first reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah. And in the first part of Isaiah, he talks about the destruction that's going to come upon the people of Israel because they're unfaithful to the Lord and disobey his commandments. But in the second half, and what we hear today, is the prophecy about the future restoration of Israel. You know, that there's going to be a new exodus where the people are going to be delivered from evil. And the signs that Isaiah say are going to accompany this is that the ears of the deaf are going to be opened and the tongue of the mute will sing. And even more than a restoration, what Isaiah promises is that God himself is going to do these things. God is going to lead the new exodus. God is the one who is going to open the ears of the deaf. And as we get to today's gospel, we hear the Lord not only work a powerful miracle, which demonstrates the Lord's power, but it also is the fulfillment of the prophecy from Isaiah. And when Jesus Christ takes the deaf man with the speech impediment aside, and he puts his fingers in the man's ear and they're opened, and he touches his tongue, and his tongue begins, and he now begins to sing God's praises. You know, so this miracle, in addition to demonstrating the power of our Lord, it demonstrates that he is the one who is fulfilling what was predicted by Isaiah. This is God himself working miracles and healing his people. And so a couple points for us to reflect on from today's gospel. You know, the first is, who is it that our Lord singles out to heal? You know, it's not somebody who's rich or who's privileged. He goes to the broken and to the poor. You know, the Lord, in a special way, shows his mercy to the brokenhearted and those who are crying out to him in their need. Those are the ones that, in a special way, the Lord focuses on to work miracles and to show his love. And this, another thing that we can focus on is how our Lord heals this man. He doesn't just say a word. He doesn't just say, be healed. Or he doesn't just will it and it happens. What our Lord did is he actually took on a human body so that the infinite, all-powerful, untouchable God could reach out and touch this man and put his fingers in his ears and touch his tongue in order to heal him. That says a lot about who our God is and what he desires to do for us. He looks in particular for the broken and those who are in the most need and those who are crying out to him. And he reaches out in a very personal and an intimate way and touches them to bring about his healing will. That, of course, was 2,000 years ago. You know, what about how the Lord works today? Well, our Lord, after the ascension, entrusted that power to the church. You know, the church is the instrument through which our Lord continues to reach out and to heal and to show his mercy to the world. He doesn't just will that grace happens and it happens. He established a physical church with ministers so that through his ministers, people could feel that healing power of the Lord and hear those words. So that when a child or someone is baptized, it's not just that the Lord gives them sanctifying grace. It's that they feel the water being poured over their head as they're cleansed. If a person is broken down by the guilt of their sin and they go to the sacrament of reconciliation, they hear the words of Christ spoken through the priest, I absolve you from your sins. It's a personal and an intimate encounter with our Lord because he doesn't desire just to heal us from on high. He desires to reach out in an intimate and in a powerful way to heal us. And we see this most especially in the Eucharist, where the Lord gives us his very flesh and blood. And as we go forward to receive the Eucharist on our tongues, just like he touched this man's tongue and healed him in today's gospel, so too his healing power touches us as we receive him into ourselves. Through the church, you know, we hear the Lord's voice speaking the words of truth to the world. You know, the church is Christ's continued presence in the world. And the institution of the church and the church herself is a manifestation of the mercy of God towards his people. And what a beautiful thing for us to be part of the church. You know, one of the things that has frustrated me, you know, through my time as a seminarian and as a priest is the state of the church. You know, how many leaders in the church so often have been mute and they haven't spoken out. How many have been weak, ineffective leaders at a time when the moral foundation of our nation is crumbling. You know, our families are disintegrating. You know, the number of Catholics falling away from the church is huge. And the catechesis over the course of the past decades has been terrible. You know, I've taught in Catholic high schools and get kids as sophomores who have had 10 years of Catholic education and they've never heard that it's a sin to take the Lord's name in vain. It's like, how do you go through 10 years of Catholic education and you don't even hear the Ten Commandments? You know, what's going on within the church? And how many ministers of the church have been so concerned with dismantling devotion to the Eucharist? How many churches have been gutted and torn apart in the past decades? How many times communion on the tongue has been discouraged? And how any reverence towards the sacred or towards the Eucharist is downplayed? You know, how many churches have had their confessionals removed? And how many churches has Eucharistic adoration been forbidden? Or has Marian devotion been downplayed? You know, how many times have we heard socialism being promoted in our political system under the guise of social justice? You know, the reality is that there is poison within our church, all the way up the hierarchy. And what we're seeing in the media is that that's now being revealed. You know, wicked men who have deliberately infiltrated the church. You know, it's no wonder that in addition to the things that they've been doing, you know, crimes that they've been committing, that within the church they've also been attacking authentic Catholicism. It should be no wonder that we see a destruction in Eucharistic devotion and church teaching, you know, when men have infiltrated the church with subversive motives. But this is also a time of great hope, because what we're seeing now is the church is being cleansed. And that's a beautiful thing. There's a renewal that's already been at work within the church for many years. And we can see it if we just look, for example, at our seminary. You know, 20 years ago, we had teachers at the seminary that were open heretics, you know, teaching heresy in classes. If a seminarian was seen with a rosary in their hand, it was a formation issue that had to be dealt with. And if we look at the seminary today, you know, the instructors, the priests that are at our seminary are some of the best, most faithful priests in our diocese. And our seminary is filled to capacity with a generation of young men who are good and who will be good and faithful priests and who are truly striving to live lives of holiness, and some of which will one day, God willing, be made bishops as well. You know, this is a movement of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is purifying his church. And we can see right now a renewal that's at work. The purification is going to be ugly. We're going to see, you know, bad reports in the media of, you know, different things that are going to be uncovered with bishops. And that's going to be ugly. But every single one of these cases where the light of truth is being shown is also the purification of the church. And the reign of persecution of faithful Catholic laity and faithful Catholic priests within the church, God willing, is coming to an end, you know, as the poison within the church is being rooted out. And so my advice to you as your pastor in this time of purification is, first of all, do not get discouraged or allow your faith to waver. You know, as we see, you know, what's going to be a long process of purification. You know, the reality is our faith is in Jesus Christ, not in any human being. And no evil is going to triumph over the power of Jesus Christ within his church, which is his mystical body, the Catholic Church. Goodness is going to prevail. The church is going to be purified. And just as we see in today's gospel, the healing power of Jesus Christ being unleashed for this man with the speech impediment and the man who was deaf, so too, within the church, we are going to see a massive purification. And a new era is dawning within the church. And the church is going to rise up in splendor with a new generation of saints. And the church will once again be a light to the nations. And from the renewal that's going to happen first within the mystical body of Jesus Christ, his church. From that starting point is going to bring about a renewal of the entire human race. And we're in a fortunate position now to be part of that renewal. Not to abandon the church in her time of need, but by becoming saints. By praying for the purification of the church. By remaining faithful and being part of a new generation of saints that's going to rise up within the church. You know, there's going to be an ongoing purification within the church. But it's part of the cleansing and a power of Jesus Christ and a movement of the Holy Spirit. And so in this time of difficulty, it falls to us to be part of this new generation of saints that will persevere in the faith and remain faithful to Jesus Christ and to his church. Because our Lord will never abandon his church, but he will bring about a great renewal. And we're already beginning to see that renewal within our church today.